about to join our song service this morning. It's good to be back home. The Lord has been so gracious to us. Been in several good meetings, especially last weekend. We were down at Vidalia O-Line Church. Brother Philip was with us, and people started asking me on Friday, "Is that your preacher?" I said, "That's him." He was very well received, and they all spoke about the simplicity of the doctrine that he delivered to us. The child could understand it, the age could understand it, and we were blessed with many preachers last weekend. I tell you, a preacher needs to be preached too. We assemble ourselves together that we might hear the word of God and be refreshed in preaching. Brother Cecil Daugherty reminded me of that when I was following him around when he had so much heart problems. He says, you need to hear good preaching, and we heard it last weekend. I'm looking forward to all the meetings that we have coming up in September and October, and we pray again that the Lord will bless these meetings. Talking to two young preachers the other night. One asked me, he said, "Brother Charles," he said, "in the church that I'm serving," he said, there's a couple there with two children. "I found out they're not members of the church." He says, "What can I do to get them to join the church?" Now, this is you talking. This is a young minister. I'll tell you, when you first come into the ministry and God blesses us with liberty, there's a burn, and I could tell he was burning. And I said, "Brother, I don't want to disappoint you, but I want to just lay out the fact to you. I've known these people for 25 years, and in 25 years, I've never seen a more dedicated people to a church in finances, labor, the love of this church. But in 25 years, they have not united with the church." Then I revealed to him down at Rosemary, I counted them one morning, we have 21 members down in our church, or 21 in our church, that are more faithful to the church, to attend church, than the actual members are, and they have never united with the church. As a question among the ministers today, is there a great falling away among God's people? Is they no longer hunger and thirst to follow the will of Him? And I want to tell you, it was the will of Him that we are baptized. I think about the day that he came to John, and John sort of stepped back. He said, "It's you that should be baptizing me." He said, "Suffer it to be so." He was laying down a pattern that we were to follow. I had some folks down in our church a while back. If we don't unite with the church and we don't follow the will of God, who's going to have communion? And that's what it's all about. People no longer see the communion services being the important part of the church, but it is the church. To be able to partake of the bread and drink the wine to remember His precious blood and His broken body, and then to wash the saints' feet. What happened? Are we cold? Our brother mentioned this morning, and as Brother Frank prayed, I thought about this. Are we failing? Are we failing as ministers to preach the gospel? In many ways, I think we are. Many ways, we're not preaching discipline like we should. I could point out many, many ways to come up short, but most of all, I have to realize that as I spoke to this young brother, I says, I quote just like Spurgeon did when one of his students walked up to Spurgeon and he says, "Who are the elect?" He said, "None of your business. God knows His, and that's not for you to know. What are you to do? You're to feed the sheep. You're to preach the gospel anywhere you go, and you're to preach the truth of the gospel. God will give the increase." But we're all concerned about this today. Last year, I had a pity party, saying to myself, "I have failed the church." So when I come home, I gathered up all the minutes books that I could, and I scattered them out over the table, and look, my goodness alive. Church, biggest Cool Spring church, maybe one or two come into the church. We have to pray for our great nation. There is a coldness among the people today. It didn't just begin. It began when Joshua brought the children across. There was Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. They said to them, "We can worship over here on this side. We can do it this side." Oh, the grass is greener on this side. People today have they really believe in their heart. Well, you know, I've had friends of mine to tell me, Charles, I know you go to church every Sunday, but I love the Lord, and I just tell you, I believe in the crucifixion of Jesus. But I can worship in my own way. Wrong. You cannot do it. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves in a meeting like we're having today. It is required of God's people to assemble themselves that they might worship and they might hear the written word of God. I want to tell you, when we were out there in the world, we become worldly. What happened to Reuben and Gad and half tribe of Manasseh? Where are they at today? So we have that duty, not only to preach the truth, but to preach the truth to God's people. And we have to pray that God has to give the increase, but it's up to Him. Peter, in the last chapter of John, and I quoted this to this young brother the other night, I said, you're to feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. I believe in what ways it... I thought about this coming up this morning. What we call the gospel in America today is many times not the gospel. It does not feed that little lamb. It does not feed the sheep. A gospel of fear. When they try to put fear into young people and try to scare them into coming to the church, that's not the true gospel. We look at others and we see great numbers among others, but if you look at the turnover that they have, we don't have that kind of turnover in our church. We thank God for that. Now, the truth. I believe the world can accept the truth, but many times the truth is not being preached. Peter is very brokenhearted in the last chapter of John, chapter 21. He's very brokenhearted. He is crushed. He has denied the Lord. I know his heart is heavy, for there has not been peace made between him. He has not been reconciled yet. And well, what did Peter do? I can do things my own way. Let's go fishing. Peter was a fisherman when Jesus called him. And what did Jesus say? I'll make you fishers of men. But Peter, in his despair, decides he'll go back to fishing. So he gathers up these disciples, and there are several of them. He says they was Thomas, no doubt, and Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. They get back in a boat, and they go fishing, and they catch nothing. Then the Bible tells us that they look out. They caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but they knew not that it was Jesus. He asked them, children, have you any meat? They answered, no. He tells them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Now, they obeyed him. You see, first of all, they're walking in their own way. But now when he gives them a commandment, they do it, and what do? They catch a multitude of fishes. But therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved, he said unto Peter, who is this? The Lord. When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat, well, he was naked, did cast himself in the sea, and we can just see Peter running to him. The other disciples came in a little ship. But as soon as they were come to land, they see a fire of coals and fish and bread. And he says, come and dine. Peter's to him. But now, none of the disciples asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, give them, and fish likewise. When they had dined, Jesus said unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? There's a requirement for the people of God, the children of God. We're to love him. He is to be the first. We're to love him more than family. We're to love him more than friends. We're to love him more than world. We're to love him more than fish. He said, Simon, do you love me more than these? What did Peter say? He said, yea, Lord. He says, feed my lambs. I was telling this young brother the other day, I want to tell you right now, I said, now there are many of God's little children today that are lambs. There are many that portray themselves as great rams. And you have to beware of them. We don't want to be a little bruised up lamb. We want to be a bull. That's just our nature. But he says to Peter, he says, feed my lambs. Then he asked him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, you love me? Yea, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. He asked him the third time. Now, Peter is getting irritated with all of this. He asked him the third time. He says, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. First of all, he's revealing to Peter that he has a duty to forsake all. He has called him into the field not to be fishers of fish, but fishers of men. And he is to be faithful to his calling. He is to feed the sheep. And he's also reminded him that he cannot make a sheep. I thought about the parable that Jesus gave to him in Luke's gospel about the 99 when he revealed to them that the shepherd would leave the 99. What were those 99? The 99 were in the wilderness. What did he do? He left and he went to get the lamb that was lost. First of all, we see there that the one that was lost didn't even know he was lost. Another thing we see in that parable, the one that was lost didn't know where the fold was. And he left the 99 and he goes to get the one. You see, the family is going to be complete. He had 100 in his fold. That was one. So a preacher cannot make that mistake sometimes thinking that we can make sheep. We cannot. We pray to our God that His Spirit go. But we cannot make sheep. He's telling Peter here, he's not telling him to go out into the world with the Great Commission and make sheep. He's telling him to go out and feed the sheep. And that is the duty that we have here today. As ministers of the gospel, we have a duty to preach the truth of the gospel of Christ crucified, be in one accord and in unity, and we're to preach that no matter where we go. We're to have that desire not only to preach and relieve the burden that the Spirit puts upon us, we should have that desire to listen to others preach the gospel. And what are we to do as a church? I want to give you a little warning. Over and over in the Scriptures, we can see that God dealt with people. His Spirit dealt with people. But the Bible tells us that we can grieve that Holy Spirit. And that's where we come to today with many of God's people today. Many of God's people no longer feel the burden to serve Him. I think about the other day, and I was thinking about Romans 13. Now, our brother prayed for this great nation. Brother Philip mentioned this great nation. I want to tell you something. God has the power to raise up men to honor and to dishonor. I can show you over and over in the Scripture where He raised up wicked kings. And they brought havoc among the children of God because of their disobedience. But that God was in control. It was God that raised up Nebuchadnezzar. It was God that raised up Pharaoh. It was God that raised up the one we got here today, because I don't believe that we have been obedient to God. We have not been grateful. We have not been thankful. We take everything with a grain of salt. I think about the other day, brother and I, last year when it got so hot and so dry and the crops were burning up. We had a meeting down at Roseberry Church, the community prayer meeting, and everybody come together, and the church was pretty near full. Preachers from Lodge Creek and all came, and many men, I think about 30 men that night, got down on their knees and prayed to God to relieve the drought, that our farmers might make a good crop, that they themselves might be able to pay their just and honest debts. Oh, we prayed in their behalf. What happened? God answered that prayer. In 7 days, they began to give these little pop-up showers, cotton that was blooming on the bottom. Suddenly it grew. And it began to bloom on top. They made a buffer crop of cotton. Peanuts were pegging at about that time. God gave those little evening showers. They were making good. Everything was good. Prayer had been answered. We're on our way to Bethel Church on Sunday evening. The same ones that we prayed for that have a good crop that they could pay their just and honest debts. Three combines in a peanut field. And the dust coming across U.S. 80 when we turn to go into the church. That's how grateful and thankful God's people are. Is it any wonder? I think about brethren today. Oh, we don't have to unite with the church. You know, we call them sometimes white knuckle. Primitive Baptists, we call them white knuckle. Why? Because they hold on to the pews. Well, I want to tell you, the Bible says we can grieve that Holy Spirit. And I do believe that the Spirit dwells with the man, changing his heart, giving him a desire to worship, giving him a desire to come. But that man keeps bucking the system and saying, no, I'll do it next week. Well, I have seen that spirit leave that man out in a cold world away from God. Will the spirit return? Sometimes it does not. That's a frightful thing. I tell you today, when we have that feeling that we need to unite and follow Him in baptism, get up from there and do it. I've yet to baptize anybody. The year before last, I baptized seven people. All seven came out of the water with tears in their eyes, saying this, "Brother Charles, I didn't know it was going to be this easy." I'm so blessed and so thankful. I saw them with tears in their eyes, having communion with the children when we had our communion service, partaking of the bread and the wine for the first time. And tears running down their faces and acknowledging to me that for years we have denied ourselves this great blessing. It is a blessing to follow Him. It is a blessing to be able to assemble and worship Him in true worship. So what am I saying today? Jesus reminded Peter, feed the sheep. You're not going to make no sheep. He said, I'm telling you to feed the sheep. He said, feed my little lambs. Paul considered many in the church's lambs. He admonished those in the Hebrew letter. He says, when you should be teachers, having the oracles, I've got to go back and feed you milk. He recognized the weakness of man. He tells them in the church at Corinth that they should be, they're not able to stand meat. He says, I have to give you milk. Peter tells those in 1 Peter, he said, desire the milk of the word. We're babies eating pablum. We come into our life in this world is one of, it's a journey. We come in as babes in all of our days that we sojourn here on this earth. We learn more and more and more about Him. I've never seen a book like this right here. You can't preach it out. Brother Philip, far better preacher than I am, but he'll never preach it out. You can open this book and all of a sudden there's a point that you hadn't heard, hadn't seen, and the preacher can get up and preach on it in the congregation. You can enjoy what he's saying. What a marvelous book. It's the written word of God. That's what makes it so special. Should we not desire to follow Him? Take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow Him. I hated to discourage that young brother when he was talking to me about that, to tell him that this couple for 25 years. But I went a long time myself. And many of us do. But in that, we denied ourselves many, many blessings from above. One thing that we cannot do in our rebellion and our stubbornness, we cannot destroy the sonship. But I want to tell you, in our rebellion, we can destroy the fellowship. Let us not be as Reuben and Gad and half tribe of Manasseh. They said the grass is greener over here. We can worship in our own way. We can do things in our own way. We see their destruction. We cannot do it our way. We must do it His way. His is the only way. I thank you for your good attention. Good to be with you again.